Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Situation Room.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Situation Room. I'm here with my co-host, Gabe Ferguson. He's at Gabe Fergie. I'm Jordan Coe at Raven Sit Room. And Gabe, we are here in Las Vegas back for the third year for week one. Excited to be here. Big win for the Ravens and big win for me. I put a little action down on this game. Trusted in the Ravens and they came through.
Yeah, we were talking about the night before how much we thought was appropriate to bet on the game to see if it was going to be a scary kind of, you know, close game or were we feeling really confident about it. I think we ended up being confident about it and it worked out for both of us for that. So love to see a big Ravens win in week one. It's fun being here in Vegas, seeing, you know, all the stuff going down, all the action on these crazy games. Did you see that the Browns won on a 58-yard field goal at the end of regulation? I didn't know it was at the end of regulation like that. That was very close.
No, I didn't see that it was. I knew that it was late, but I didn't realize it was with time expiring or that it was that long of a kick. There was. The kicking in the NFL this week was about as bad as my fantasy team in the matchup that we had against each other. There were a lot of missed kicks that were pretty important across the board. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that and see if that's just a byproduct of it being early in the year or kicking continues to get worse and, you know, the Ravens continue to show some kind of value that they've got in Justin Tucker because, you know, he's so automatic.
Yeah, I mean, special teams, they make a difference. A lot of these close games came down to a missed kick, a bad snap. I think in the Steelers-Bengals game, they didn't get the timing on the field goal there. And then the Steelers go and doink one off the side of the post. And, you know, they end up winning the game, but missed kick after missed kick after missed kick. So glad to have Justin Tucker for sure.
Yeah, and missed kick in the Titans game, too, to lose the game. ballsy for the Giants to go for two there to kind of go up for the lead, too. So, you know, fun stuff in the NFL this week. It was a good one. It was a good game for Baltimore, and it was good to have football back. And, you know, I think, you know, it all started for this team with the defense. The Ravens' defense was just flat-out dominant. Bend don't break mentality, I think, in a lot of ways. They were keeping everything in front of them. They weren't going to let them get beat deep. They were going to try and use pressure to keep everything underneath, and it worked.
Yeah, it was, I mean, week one, so I felt like it might have been a little bit vanilla, like you said, a little bend but don't break. But we saw some interesting things, I think. But like you said, defense was really good, especially that defensive line and I guess the outside linebackers too. You know, we talked about it in kind of like the preview for the season about how we thought the defensive line was, you know, one of the strengths of the team, and they really showed it in this game. And, you know, maybe not the best offensive line to go up against. They had some players missing for the Jets, and obviously, you know, Flacco is a little bit of a statue back there, but they really hounded him the entire game. And I think, you know, they probably played a little better than even the box score showed. There's, you know, a couple like ticky-tack penalties that that one of them wiped out a sack. But it was just an overall really good performance, I think, from the defense, especially up front.
Yeah, I think two of them were on third down stops as well, that extended those drives a little bit. It did seem like the Jets ran a lot more plays, but, you know, it's pretty hard not to be happy with that kind of defensive result, even given kind of that talent disparity that you mentioned.
Yeah, Flacco threw the ball 59 times, like 5.2 yards per attempt. So, you know, that's a good number to be at for the Ravens. And I don't think it's going to be like that every single week, but if you can, you know, have that kind of secondary where you're locking things down in the back end and you have the guys up front, it's going to be hard for teams to consistently move the ball against this defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought we saw, you know, a little bit of rust on, especially from the offense in the first half, in the first quarter. It felt like it was a little stuck in the mud to get started, and I was certainly sweating out that bet a little bit for the first quarter and a little bit into the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was one of the questions we also had. How's the running game going to look early? You said rust. I think that was a big part of it. There were some issues with the run blocking, some execution things. And then by the second half, it started to work its way out. You know, they opened up the passing game a little bit more passing on first down, I think, as we got towards the end of the first half. And that helped kind of, you know, just make it a little bit more, you know, dynamic, I think. There's a little bit more, the Jets weren't quite sure what was coming their way, especially with, you know, Joe Flacco, with Lamar Jackson taking some shots over the top and getting some big completions. So I think, you know, this offense, we were not quite sure how it was going to look, but overall, you know, especially into the second half, I was happy with how they performed. I think it's only going to get better too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the Ravens have a lot of guys that are going to be coming back. I mean, we already, you know, J.K. Dobbins, I think, was missed in this game sorely. Marcus Peters will be a welcomed addition back with some of the injuries that came up. But you got Nick Boyle also, who didn't play, Ronnie Stanley. So the Ravens have reinforcements that are on the way, which feels good to kind of know that they've got Tyus Bowser as well. You know, coming back, Ajabo, geez, mm-hmm. The list is long. But, you know, the team could look much better or much different later in the year and have that opportunity, which is really nice to see. But, you know, that left a lot of Ricard and Stevens and Harrison kind of taking on roles that we might not have expected when we came into week one
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, exactly. I think the thing that may have stood out to me the most was how much Brandon Stevens played as basically an outside cornerback for the Ravens. He was basically their third corner. He was on the field a lot. I think it were 50 snaps, and he played mostly just outside corner. Like, I know that he played there in the preseason, but I think a lot of us were thinking that he would be a little further down on the depth chart than where he was, and I think he played well in this game. You know, he had a couple of nice, you know, pass breakups. He didn't look, like, out of place or being picked on in coverage at all, so I was pretty pleased to see him, you know, play at that level.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be needed. I mean, we you know, you know we're going to have quarterback depth issues at some point during the season. It's nice to see his development. And it's also nice to know that you can give a moment to Pepe Williams and Jalen Armour Davis to kind of get settled in and get adjusted to the speed of the NFL game. But overall, you know, you got to be pretty happy with how the secondary played its way out. We saw Marcus Williams coming in for that interception. Lots of punch outs. You know, you were seeing that on the regular as part of the approach. And I think the Ravens have always been a little bit like that. But it's good to see them kind of turn up the aggression on that. And it really paid off. I think Clark had a punch out. Michael Pierce had a punch out. You know, there was one play where you could tell Humphrey was trying to rip the ball out of the guy's hand and didn't really make the tackle. But it's nice to see Ravens defense looking like the Ravens defense again, especially after what we had to endure last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really the past 2 years they kind of struggled to force those turnovers. And this game was nice to have two, and they were pretty close to getting a third, obviously with the fumble that was recovered by the Jets. But, yeah, that was good to see. And it's going to be fun to watch. I think we might see a little bit more zone coverage this year than we have in the past, which might lead to more turnovers in terms of, you know, interceptions, being able to have your eyes on the quarterback, and especially if the defensive front can play the way it is and force some ugly passes. That's what we're hoping to get on the back end, is some bad throws that lead to turnovers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those evolutions where, you know, especially with this defense and who is out on the field for those different snaps, I think is going to be kind of an interesting part of, you know, how all this tracks. We saw Kyle Hamilton out there for a good chunk of snaps throughout this game. I think, you know, that's certainly something that's kind of important to keep an eye on. Patrick Queen playing the entire game, which was, you know, a pretty big development overall. So kind of some of these snap counts overall, I think, are certainly going to be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I think it will change over the course of the season, like you said, as players get back in, Bowser gets back, if Ojabo comes back. Travis Jones, obviously, another reinforcement. You know, one of the rookies that we really liked in the preseason. I think he's going to have a pretty big role, but it's good to have the kind of depth I think that the Ravens have. It's one of the hallmarks of, you know, the kind of roster building that Eric DaCosta has been doing over the past few years. And it showed up in a game like this when a lot of your top players were not even available and they still had a very dominant performance. So that's really nice to see. You mentioned Hamilton. One of the things I was interested in seeing was how he was going to be utilized. I think he was utilized pretty basically. He was basically just like your third safety. There wasn't a lot of like blitzing with him or like kind of playing in the box. It was kind of just standard, kind of, you know, basic third safety role, a little bit in the slot, a little bit of free safety. I think he played well. He missed that one tackle out in the flat on that crazy play to Garrett Wilson where he made two, I think it was him and Stevens, he juked pretty impressively. And that's a good play. And I think, you know, that's something we saw in the preseason with Hamilton too. He missed a couple of tackles. So hopefully that's something that can be cleaned up over the course of the season. And I think maybe he will have an expanded role too with some more things where, depending on the matchups you have, I mean, the Jets didn't have any particular like dangerous tight end, for instance. I think that's something that Hamilton could be used if you're going up against like a Travis Kelce or a Dawson Knox or something, you know, a player that's a little bit more dynamic in the passing game. I think he can be really utilized in that type of coverage assignment. I think he's going to be good in that role, I hope.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of rookies getting meaningful time for the Ravens, which is not something historically that it feels like John Harbaugh has let happen. But, you know, we saw Hamilton play a significant role. Leonard Baum obviously taking all the snaps at center. Good to see him coming in and being healthy. Isaiah Likely, not a great game for him, but a lot of usage. So it's good to see that the Ravens are kind of willing to lean in and use him there. I think, you know, and obviously Jordan Stout, you know, as a punter played pretty well. The one punt was a little long, and I'll kick into the end zone and I'll kick his coverage on another, but otherwise pretty solid game from him given the weather, and that terrible punt that we saw from the Jets punter. It goes to show you how much of a difference those can make. So it's nice to see a rookie class that has this kind of impact, and there's still upside kind of behind that because you got Pepe and you've got Jalen Armour Davis and Kolar, you know, who also is another guy that could be coming back, Travis Jones, who you mentioned. So it's good to see a draft class that was highly touted having this kind of impact this early.
Yeah, and you know, Linderbaum, I think there were some issues maybe in his pass protection in this game, going against, you know, pretty good defensive line. Quinn Williams is a very high draft pick for the Jets. He's a good player. And, you know, he got beat a couple of times, I think, there. But for the most part, you know, when I was rewatching the game, I thought he was pretty impressive in what he did as a run blocker. He looked like he was very athletic. He showed some power. You saw him on the move a couple of times. You know, there's a screen play that the Ravens called. I think it was one of the better executed screens we've seen out of the Ravens in quite some time. And that's something that I think we might be able to see more of. We have an athletic player like Linderbaum out there. You know, it was a really interesting play, and maybe we could, you know, dive into that a little bit deeper, because two things caught my attention in that play. One was Lamar Jackson under center on that play. And we saw that a few times in this game. And it's something I think, you know, was a point of focus in this offseason, something they wanted to do a little bit more with Lamar Jackson. So seeing him under center, I think it worked out very well when they were doing that. It allows for a different type of play action look, and it allows for, you know, a different like expectation from the defense, because normally this team has been in shotgun almost entirely for the past, you know, 4 years with Lamar Jackson. So you're seeing some looks that you're not necessarily expecting, and it gives the Ravens an opportunity to take advantage of what a team might not be expecting.
And I think, you know, what I like about it also is that it lets the Ravens use these multi tight end sets more effectively. We saw a couple different times when they were under center. I think that in both cases, at least two of the cases, you had tight ends on both ends of the line when Lamar was under center. And that gives you kind of that flexibility of kind of being mirrored. The play could go left or the play could go right. You don't have some of the tendency that you get in pistol. Like, when you're in the pistol, I guess you can go both ways. But when you're in the shotgun and you've got the running back next to you, you are giving a little bit of that away. And then, you know, Lamar just looked really good on those boots. I mean, I've been a long proponent of wanting to see the Ravens put Lamar under center, let him get some of that naked boot action, because teams are either going to have to start to come up on that and defend it and give him a big throwing zone, or they're just going to have to leave the cushion there, and the Ravens are just going to regularly be able to take 5, 6, 7 yards on the regular, get yourself in good down and distance situations, and then you can use all those things that the Ravens are good at to take advantage of those situations.
Yeah, I mean, take advantage of Lamar Jackson's athleticism. Not that they don't do that already, but use it in a different way. And we've seen, you know, boot action be kind of a staple of a lot of NFL offenses, and it's been very successful for a very long time, and that's the reason why it's there. You can get Lamar Jackson on the kind of like naked bootleg where you have, you know, just like maybe one man to beat, and you can use him as a runner, and then obviously you can also use that in play action, and you can have a couple of guys, you can have, you know, one the under route, the check down, and you have kind of like a levels where you have, you know, people coming and across at different levels. And that's something that, you know, we've seen a little bit here and there, but I feel like you just have so many more options if you use that. And it's something that I like seeing, you know, once or twice in this game. I think it should be a bigger part of the offense moving forward.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Ravens unleash that and you know, what advantages that brings to Lamar. I mean, and I just want to take, you know, a moment to kind of give Lamar some credit. He had a really good game. And if it wasn't, you know, the throw that was the interception was not a great throw. I think he shorted it because he didn't want to throw it into that safety. And it was a bad decision, and he just kind of lofted it up there, and the game was already kind of out of hand and over, so it wasn't necessary. But, you know, you had a couple good throws that resulted in drops that would have been first downs or close to first downs and kept the chains moving, and that really kind of stagnated things early on. What, you know, and the trope of Lamar not being able to throw is old and tired, and I'm over it, so I don't want to talk about that. What I do want to talk about is Lamar's effectiveness in the pocket. His pocket awareness in this game was phenomenal. On the second Duvernay touchdown, he climbs the pocket when he feels the pressure. There was that other play where he ran for the first down. I still don't know how he got out of there. But he's always had good pocket presence, but it's good to see him having that trust to be able to climb up in the pocket. It felt like there were times last year where Lamar was booting out and, you know, on his own because he just didn't think that the protection was going to be there. And that confidence early in the year to match kind of his ability to have that presence is, I think, going to be a big one for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think, you know, the protection in this game was pretty good. They did bring or leave an extra blocker in quite a bit in this one. You know, Patrick Ricard was used pretty extensively. He played a lot of snaps in this game. He was used a lot as a pass protector. And I think he played pretty well in that role. And, you know, we don't know when Ronnie Stanley is going to come back. Obviously, you know, one of the big, you know, fallouts of this game was Juwan James going down, and he's tore his Achilles again, which is really sad for him. You know, he worked hard to get back on the field. Now he's going to be out. You know, this might be the end of his career, honestly. I mean, I don't want to say that, but, like, it's tough to come back from that injury a second time. So I feel really bad for him. And, you know, he was, I think, playing pretty well. I think it's going to be a little tougher depending on how long Stanley is out for. With, you know, I think Patrick McCarthy came in and played okay, but he's a little bit more limited, I think. So the protection hopefully is going to improve with Stanley getting back. In the meantime, they're going to have to, you know, probably leave a lot of, you know, 6-man protection, 7-man protections. You know, we even saw a max protection on the Bateman touchdown in this game. They kept 8 people in to protect, and it was basically just a 2-man route, and boy, that was such a nice play to see. That was also another play action shot, and that's the kind of thing that we've seen at times. You know, we had a long completion for touchdown to Marquise Brown last year. I think in the Denver game was a very similar type play where you had, you know, just like a two-man route and, you know, just use that speed to go over the top and, you know, Lamar just put it exactly where it had to be. And I was impressed by Bateman on that play because he looked fast. You know, I was impressed by his speed. It's more speed than I probably given him credit for. If you told me that was Hollywood Brown running that, I would not have noticed. I would have been like, okay, yeah, that's a really fast guy running on the field.
Yeah, and Duvernay looked much better than what we've seen in terms of some routes, in terms of catching the ball, in terms of what he's been able to contribute as a wide receiver. Obviously, two touchdowns make it easy from a splash perspective, but it's nice to see them being able to kind of rotate some of those guys in there and see them have a role. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the overall scheme. You know, we could talk about both offense and defense, but, you know, let's start with offense since we're talking a little bit about the wide receivers. You and I are still pretty annoyed by the Ravens' desire to stay bunched up and tight constantly all the time, and it doesn't seem like that's going away. And when you're not executing, it doesn't leave you a lot of room for error, and I think that's what we saw in the first quarter of this game. Obviously, the execution picked up, and we saw a lot of improvement, I think, in the running game in the second quarter, or the second half. And once they got into that, it allowed them to get into rhythm. That's part of, I think, what opened up some of those deep shots. Like, all those things kind of came together, but you know, I think we're just going to, you know, we all just are going to have to live with it. We're going to get more of the same and the slow and steady from Greg Roman, and there's not going to be an evolution on his part.
Yeah, the, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me in this game was the use of personnel, especially on offense. They rarely had three wide receivers on the field. I think it was maybe five or six snaps the entire game that they had three receivers. That's a kind of a big deviation from where they've been in the past couple of years. I mean, they've never been like a big 11 personnel team, but they were at least, you know, 50% of the snaps. You were seeing three receivers. In this game, it was a lot of 12, a lot of 22. It depends on how you want to call Patrick Ricard in this game. Do you call him a fullback, a tight end? He probably played more snaps lined up as a tight end than as a fullback. And like I mentioned earlier, he was used a lot in line, kind of as the Nick Boyle replacement, and whether that's in pass protection or in run blocking. So that is going to, you know, when you're in those heavy packages, it's going to bring in more defenders into the box. Like that's kind of what happens when you have these especially condensed formations. And like you said, it doesn't give you very much room for error if your blocking isn't, you know, perfectly executed, because you have nine guys who are there. You can, you know, make a play pretty easily. And if you're not getting a hat on a hat, then it's going to be tough sledding. But when we saw that open up with the long passes, with better execution, the running game looked good. So I'm not opposed to heavy personnel if it's working. And I think the thing you want to do is make sure you are mixing in a good amount of play action, mixing in a good amount of maybe formational adjustments where you're splitting out your two tight ends. If it's likely an Andrews, you can split them out and you have them as flex into the slot. And we saw that a lot in this game. We actually saw, I think Andrews and likely were 80% outside of the formation when they were playing. So like they were almost always playing in the slot. And that gives you that ability to obviously be a very good flexible passing offense, even with the tight ends on the field, which is exactly where the Ravens want to be.
I think one of the other things that I like and one of the advantages to these tight situations, the tight kind of formations, is that it does let you do some things laterally. It's somewhat surprising the Ravens haven't been a better screen team because of some of those formations, but I think we saw it on the first play of the game when Rashad Bateman comes across the field laterally, and you know you have a lot of room to work in those situations. And if you can make a guy miss or even use those angles, you're still picking up decent chunks of yard underneath and kind of staying on down a distance. And it'll be interesting to see how the Ravens kind of fold those pieces in along with it. But it did. One of the things that you just said, it did feel like the passing game opened up the running game a little bit in this game, and I hope that's something that resonates with Greg Roman a little bit, because I think that those passing mentalities, even out of those running formations to start, will let force teams to alleviate out of the box a little bit, especially if you've got a guy like Rashad Bateman just running by these defenders.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I was hoping to see a little bit more of in this game, and that we didn't. And I hope it's something that's, you know, in the play calling box somewhere down the line is the Ravens running the ball out of spread formations, because they were almost entirely running the ball with these kind of like condensed, like, you know, 7-8 people like on the line of scrimmage, and you know, getting some decent, you know, runs out of it eventually. But if you can, you know, have the defense much more spread out, and you have players like, you know, Kenyon Drake, who's pretty explosive, I think, as a running back, and J.K. Dobbins when he comes back, you're going to be able to really, you know, use that speed. And if you can beat one guy when you have a 6 or 7 man box, it's going to allow you to have some explosive plays in the running game. And that's something that I would like to see from this team, especially, I think, when you don't need to have the fullback on the field so much for the pass protection, or the tight end for pass protection, and you have Ronnie Stanley back out there, then you can really spread teams out more, and you have create more space both for Dobbins, for other running backs, for Lamar Jackson running the ball. So that's what I'm looking forward to. As the reinforcements come on the line, I think that's going to allow you to kind of do a little bit more of a different approach from the running game.
Yeah, you know, and the Ravens are J.K. Dobbins' speed to the edge is going to be, as long as it's the same speed as it was before, I think it's going to have the same impact that it did, when he was a rookie. And it will allow you to stay in these tight formations, but be a lot more threatening out of it. So it'll be good to see some of these guys come back. So, you know, what do you feel like you saw on the defense? You know, I think Mike McDonald was somebody that we were curious what was going to happen with this. And I, you know, it doesn't seem like, I mean, we saw a few things, but for the most part, it was a pretty standard defense.
Yeah, I mean, it looked a lot like, you know, the Ravens defense of old, frankly. I think there was less blitzing in this game. And especially early on, I feel like a lot of the pressures came from 4-man rushes, which is, you know, ideal. That's exactly what you want. And I think Justin Madubuike really showed what he can do given the opportunity to kind of like rush one-on-one over a guard. You know, he was a lot of times lined up over Elijah Vera Tucker, who's a very good, highly regarded prospect. He's, you know, going into his second year. I think he's one of the better young guards in the NFL. And Madubuike kind of worked him a few times. And that's something that you really, really like to see. And, you know, between him and we mentioned Travis Jones coming back, I think you can get away with a lot more of that 4-man rush and not have to blitz as much. And that's something that I think would be really, really good for this defense. You know, one thing that we also saw was some of the things like the simulated pressures. And we've seen that from Wink in the past. But there was one play. It was the play that Michael Pierce caused the forced fumble. And it was on a completion 10 yards down the field. And you might be asking yourself, why is Michael Pierce causing a forced fumble on a play 10 yards down the field? Well, it's because he was asked to drop into coverage 10 yards down the field. And that's because they were doing this kind of simulated pressure where not only Pierce was dropping, but also Calais Campbell was dropping. You have two of your interior defensive tackles dropping into coverage while, you know, you have like a defensive back and, you know, an inside linebacker coming from different spots. And even though it was a completion, they were able to, you know, get a good, you know, outcome from that play. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think we might see more of that type of thing against, you know, some teams or some quarterbacks that are a little bit more, dangerous, I think, to kind of trying to confuse them. So it's not just, simple 4-man pressure all the time. But I think, you know, there is room for a little bit more exoticness in this defense. And I'm excited to see kind of how that unfolds later in the season.
Yeah, and we didn't see – Flacco didn't really test the safeties deep. There wasn't really – and without the All-22 being released yet, it's hard to say whether or not that was like a route design kind of thing or whether or not he just wasn't willing to try it. But either way, that's a positive sign for the Ravens too, because, that means that Marcus Williams is doing his job back there. We saw the interception. Wide receiver fell down on that interception, making it a pretty easy one for him. But he was in the right spot, and whether that receiver fell down or not, he was going to be in on that play either way. And he was in the right place, and it was good to see. And so it will be. I am interested to see how those safeties end up getting deployed, and when they do get tested deep, kind of what that looks like, and whether or not that kind of front rush can be the ones to bail that out. But it does seem like, and it's been a while since it's felt this way, but it feels like the front rush or the front seven or front four or whatever you want to call it, generating that rush is going to be one of the positive ones for the Ravens this year. And it's exciting to see kind of back in the fold. I'm also optimistic that we're going to see that throughout the year.
Yeah, and there were some things that I thought were kind of just like run-of-the-mill with the coverages. And I thought they actually played more man than I was expecting. And it's hard to tell, with, like you said, without the All-22 coming out yet. But just from what I was seeing on the TV copy, it looked like they were in man a little bit more than what I was expecting. And to be able to kind of keep things in front of them, I think they did have a lot of too high safeties, even though they were kind of still in man coverage. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Jets didn't really take any shots over the top, because they did a lot of too high. They cut down on those explosive opportunities. It was one of the things that really, really damaged the Ravens defense last year, was some of those, you know, over the top big explosive plays that they were letting go. And part of that was also, missed tackles on kind of like underneath things. But I think if they can remove that and just, you know, keep things underneath and, you know, force teams to kind of like slowly matriculate the ball down the field, that's going to work to their advantage for sure.
Yeah, and Justin Houston also deserves a shout out on kind of the defensive side of the ball. Just played a really phenomenal game. Good to see him show up. Good to see that he still got it. I think he's going to be obviously going to be a big part of this. OA had a couple moments where he broke loose, looked good, but not great. But, you know, Justin Houston's going to be a big part of this pass rush, I think, when it's all said and done this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for what the Ravens are paying him, I think he's getting like $3 million or something. That's a great bargain of a contract. I know it's like a one-year thing. He's not a long-term piece, but he played well for them last year. I think there's a chance that he really kind of like doubles kind of the production in terms of like the sacks that he had. He was very close on a lot of sacks last year. But in this game, you saw the kind of impact that he's still capable of doing. And between him and OA, and then, you know, hopefully, like we talked about, we'll get a couple more, you know, guys back, whether Ajabo plays this year, we don't know, but that's looking like a pretty fierce, you know, defensive front. And it's, I think, you know, you're not always going to be going up against, you know, backup left tackles, but there are a lot of bad offensive lines in the NFL, and we'll see, you know, next week. I don't think the Dolphins have the best, you know, offensive line that's there. I think they're probably on the lower half of where you would rate them, and it might be another opportunity for this front to eat.
Yeah, it should be a good one to keep an eye on. So why don't we break down some of the plays that we saw and some things that were interesting here? And, you know, this was a play that you pointed out to me, you know, on the Lamar keeper. We didn't see a lot of the counter bash and a lot of the creative. It didn't feel like there was a lot of creativity in kind of what the Ravens were trying to do, even in the run game. But there was one play where they did run the counter bash motion, and they did it without a running back on the field. And they did it with Duvernay. So it's, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, it's nice to see that his role hasn't been completely redacted out, that the Ravens still trust him, that they think that they can use him that way. And, you know, I want to see more of that, because the ability to threaten from kind of different formations and creative ways is something that's going to really keep teams, I think, on their
heels. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that play, I think it was the first play of the game, right, where Bateman came across and kind of like a jet motion, and you got the quick, you know, quick hitter pass from that. I think, you know, seeing some of those plays will be really helpful just to kind of, you know, keep defenses honest. And, you know, it harkens back to 2020. I think, you know, that down the stretch, the Ravens running game was counter bash. Like that, I mean, it was not just counter. There's a lot of other, you know, kind of like gap scheme type of runs as well. But it was a lot of pulling. And Duvernay was used in that way. He was given the ball a few times. I mean, it was more Dobbins than Duvernay. But I think, you know, having his speed and having that threat is something that's going to help. I don't know if it was, you know, intentional to kind of limit the number of design rushing plays for Lamar Jackson in this game. It was kind of fewer than I think both of us were expecting, just given, you know, the fact that we didn't really have the top tier running backs in it. And we didn't really know exactly what the receiving core is going to look like. So we thought, you know, the Ravens might lean into that a little bit more, but it wasn't something we saw. We saw, I think, maybe two or three run plays for Lamar that were like clearly like kind of designed either an option or like a zone read type thing. And this one obviously was used in a critical situation. It was a third and I think three. So, you know, you want to definitely use those kind of plays in key situations where you really want to get that, you know, first down. And, you know, we were able to convert. I thought Lamar took a little bit of a hit on it. That's not something you want to see, but hopefully, you know, sometimes that might turn into a big play, like we saw back in 2020 quite a few times when they ran that. And I don't know, maybe teams are a little bit more accustomed to seeing it. But, you know, other teams are doing similar things. We saw the Bills run a very similar play in the week one with Josh Allen. So especially if like I mentioned earlier, and you can get some of these lighter boxes, if Lamar Jackson hits one of those holes with a light box, he might be gone. So I'm looking forward to seeing that happen later on in the season.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see if the Ravens continue to keep the, you know, foot off the gas pedal in terms of Lamar, and then whether or not they open that up later in the year. You know, to the Ravens' credit, it does seem like their approach and thoughts about injuries have been pretty significantly changed. You know, certainly with not rushing guys back, we didn't see any of Dobbins, Peters, Boyle, Stanley in this game when they all potentially could have been there and played. And so the Ravens being conservative with that, I think, is emblematic of that. So, you know, whether or not that's part of their strategy with Lamar and whether or not they cut him loose later in the year or closer to the playoffs or in bigger games when they know that they're going to need him. But, you know, keeping it off the game tape and keeping it off the film, I think, is a good one. You know, and we saw, I think what we did see then as a result of that were there were some other creative packages. I mean, we saw a lot of Andrews and Likely on the field together, some different route combinations that we saw from them. And it was, I thought Likely was just nervous, right? It was his first game with Lamar, whatever that action was. It was raining a little bit, but he was getting open. There were a couple big plays that he just didn't convert on. But the Ravens were able to use him effectively in a couple different situations, I thought, to create either mismatches or openings. And it looks like Lamar does trust him, and he kept trying to get him the ball even after those drops. So, you know, any plays in particular that you thought from Likely stood out to you?
There was one play that was actually, I think, both of the two plays early on where he dropped the ball we could talk about, because I think they're both interesting in their own way. The first one, I think it was actually like a little RPO. It was kind of like just a little inside kind of glance route. And, you know, he was in pretty tight coverage, and the ball maybe could have been placed a little bit better. But that's the kind of play, I think, where he can be really effective. You know, we've seen, you know, kind of Hollywood be in that slot before and be that RPO target in years past. But, you know, Likely has, you know, more size. And if he can use that kind of wiggle that he had in the preseason, I mean, I think he's going to be open on a lot of those easy quick hitters over the middle and kind of like just a quick, you know, 10-yard gainer. And then if he can, you know, bounce off a tackle, he might go a little bit further. We saw his ability to pick up some yards after the catch in the preseason. So the other play was the second one. And this was, I think, an ISO route designed for Likely. So we had, I think there was maybe Andrews kind of clearing out over top, and Likely just did a little bit of an option route with, like, he kind of like juked the defender, and he was very open for what should have been a first down. I think there might have been a little bit of a miscommunication with him and Jackson as to where he was kind of like settling down, and I think that's why the ball was maybe a little bit behind him. He had to kind of like turn around in his body to kind of go up and get it. Probably should have caught it as well. I would kind of definitely call that a drop. But I think those are the type of plays where we can see him, and once he and Lamar get a little bit more chemistry, a little bit more comfort level, like playing those type of things more often, to be, you know, a very easy kind of way to, you know, just pick up some chunk yardage, whether it's just like 10 yards or getting a key third down conversion. And that's what we can see Mark Andrews, you know, taking off some of that coverage and getting the attention of maybe one or even two defenders, and Likely is on a one-on-one matchup, and he's going to win that a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's, you know, it Likely is going to, what was at least clear from the Jets' approach is that teams are going to make Likely beat them early on, that there's not going to be extra focus or extra attention that's going to be paid to him just because of what he did in the preseason. And so what that says to me is that Likely's got to start to make the most of those opportunities, because those are going to be the reads that are going to be open, and those opportunities are going to be there. But that also leaves some pretty big upside for what you might be able to get from him, you know, out of those situations. And, you know, we also saw, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about Devin Duvernay earlier. He's, you know, able to utilize him really effectively, but Rashad Bateman also, I thought, had a pretty fantastic game. Other than the one drop for the first down on the slant pass, you know, obviously going to fit really nicely into that role. And the double move that he was able to put, or I don't know if I'd call it a double move, but kind of the move that he was able to put at the top of the route when he created the separation on the touchdown pass, especially when he was really the only receiver that was running deep when into a two deep safety look, is a really, you know, that's a really effective piece of where I think the Ravens offense, passing offense, can go. And it's super exciting to see them kind of unleash that. I think alternately, you know, you saw a lot, or maybe not a lot, but often the Ravens in that kind of bunch to the right tight and like three receiver type formation. And I thought they were really effective in that grouping. And so, you know, hopefully we're going to continue to see more of that, but that allows you to utilize Likely and Andrews and a wide receiver out of that. And also then potentially have somebody on the weak side of that formation that you're really creating stress for. And so we saw that work really effectively in a couple different moments in this game in particular. And it's going to, I think we're going to continue to see that as the season rolls on.
Yeah, two big plays for the Ravens came out of that trips formation. One was the second Duvernay touchdown, where he was in the bunch formation. I think Andrews was at the top of it, and he kind of ran like a little bit of like a kind of just like a hitch in the middle of the field, and he drew, I think, two defenders, because it was a third down. I think it was a third and 10, and he was basically right at like the third down marker. And the defense keyed on him, and that allowed Duvernay, who released behind him, to kind of come on just like a crossing route, a deeper crosser, and he got easily behind the one defender who was kind of isolated there. And Lamar, I think, also deserves a lot of credit for this. I mean, you already mentioned how he did a good job climbing the pocket. He also did a great job of using his eyes to move the safety and kind of like grab his attention, and then it opened up an easy pass for Duvernay to have come down with it. So that was a really nice formation. I think it was used there. It was also used a second time on a big third down completion to Mark Andrews coming on a crossing route this time. He was coming on the other side of the field this time, and he just got behind his one man. He was in man coverage, and Lamar threw a beautiful pass, and you know, that was it. And if you can get your best receivers isolated like that, out of that type of formation, that's going to prove to have, you know, dividends like every single time it's used, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I, you know, Lamar threw the ball particularly, that pass to Andrews was a fantastic throw that he just dropped in the bucket right over the top of the defender. I thought Lamar had a few really good throws. Even the play that Sauce Gardner defended against Mark Andrews was a really nice throw right on the spot. You know, over the top of Gardner, maybe a couple yards short. Like maybe if it was a little bit deeper, Andrews would have had a little bit better shot at it. But really nice to see Lamar throwing the ball so effectively. And awesome to see that deep pass from Lamar too. You know, not enough, you know, for all the people that want to criticize Lamar for, you know, where and how he's throwing the ball, yada, yada, yada. That was a bomb of a throw. You know, almost 55 yards in the air from Lamar, and he hit Bateman completely in stride. And so, you know, just good development, I think, that we're seeing from Lamar as a passer, and continued dividends from his work with that quarterback coach, Adam Dodeau. Is that how you pronounce his name? And just been really, I think, a really nice progression. Good to see, you know, overall for the Ravens, and nice to see, you know, three passing touchdowns for Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, across the entire NFL week one, he might have had the most impressive like touchdown kind of passing of all the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes had his five touchdowns. Two of them were, I think, were really impressive throws too, but he also had two like super easy, like wide open, like, you know, Lamar's throws were all much, I think, higher kind of level of difficulty. Bateman was very open, but, you know, he wasn't that open when Lamar threw the ball. That's, you know, he saw him coming open and put a dime 55 yards downfield. Like, that ball was right on target. He didn't have to break stride. It was perfectly thrown. And then the ball to Duvernay, that was the one in the corner, the first touchdown. Wow, you can't throw a prettier pass than that. And for all the criticism that you mentioned that Lamar's taken, he throws an extremely pretty pass, and he's not always perfectly on target. He had a few misfires here and there in this game, but like when he's dialed in and in those big moments, especially on those third downs, he was putting just perfect drop in the bucket passes, and it was really good to see. And I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, something we're going to continue to see all season. He could be in store for a really, really big year.
Yeah, well, you know, on pace for, you know, 50 touchdowns right now. So, you know, we'll see what kind of pace that keeps up on. But Lamar has always been, you know, always been underrated as a passer when people are talking about him as, you know, didn't he, his MVP year, he led the league in touchdown passes, I think. You know, it's going to be a part of his game, and, you know, his vision is good. You know, the one thing that you just said about the touchdown to Bateman that kind of made me think about this is Lamar didn't hesitate to throw Bateman open. And I think that's been something that you and I have been a little critical of Lamar of, that he waits till the guy gets open before he throws it. And sometimes the windows will close or they become really tight to the back of the end zone or wherever that is, you know, in those instances. So it's good to see that he's trusting of Bateman, has a sense of kind of what he was seeing in the defense and really putting the screws to them and trying to kind of turn the pressure up.
Yeah, there. And in this game in particular, I mean, some of those throws, they were to covered receivers. And we've seen him do that to Mark Andrews in the past. He's very trusting when he throws to Andrews. But I think, you know, that throw to Duvernay, especially, I'm going back to that first one, he was pretty well covered. Like, that was had to be put exactly where it was. And that's not your, like, wide receiver one. That's not your tight end one. That's, you know, the guy you probably haven't. He's only thrown, I think, what, one touchdown to him ever before? Maybe two. I think he had two. I think he had another one last year. But that's just, you know, some next-level chemistry and trust in your receiver that I think we've not seen quite to that extent in the past. So it's good to see him getting there with all the receivers out there. You know, and one last thing I would say, we were all worried a little bit about the receiving talent, I think. Maybe not all, but there were some concerns about it. I don't think there's those concerns are there anymore. I think between, you know, the tight ends, between Bateman looking like a true wide receiver one in this game, you know, he only had two catches, but that one catch, that was a huge catch, and he could have had a couple more. I think those concerns are probably not going to really affect them. I mean, there might be times where they don't have, you know, the outside receiver who's going to, like, always win in, like, some difficult situations, but I think, you know, with Lamar's talent and what they have at the tight end position, I think you have enough skill position, you know, talent to be a successful offense for sure until, you know, you get some of these guys coming back, and then you're even going to be in a better situation. So I'm excited to see how they can lean on the passing game until the running back, I think, is what I mean in terms of the reinforcements, because when you get all the running backs and when it's Dobbins and Edwards along with those wide receivers, it's going to be really difficult to stop this offense.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think the defense was pretty vanilla overall in this game. Like we mentioned, there weren't, you know, other than some individual plays and performances, I don't know that there were standout moments for us in particular, but, you know, I'm just super excited to see kind of a game where we don't have a ton to talk about. Like, it's nice that you know, even though it did feel like it was close early, and I, you know, you could say the same thing about kind of the Rams and the Bills game. The Ravens were fully in control of this game, start to finish. Nice to see that. It didn't. We certainly didn't feel that at all in the 2021 season, and everything was kind of edge of your seat, super close, super tight. Etc. So it's nice to see a Ravens team kind of evolve. You know, what are you looking forward to when you look at Miami and some of these games coming up on the schedule? You think that this performance that we saw from the Ravens is going to be a replicable one?
Well, the Miami game is really interesting because that was a game where the Ravens really struggled last year, and that was a Thursday night game. It was in Miami, so that adds a different level of complexity and difficulty, I think. But I still think that defense is, you know, they kind of gave New England some fits, and, you know, New England's not the most talented offense either, but I'm curious to see, you know, does that Miami team try to do the same things that they did last year? Are they going to throw those, you know, zero blitz looks and make the Ravens have the adjustments? If they do that, will the Ravens have the adjustments? I think that's something that is a real question mark going to that game, especially if we don't know the status of Ronnie Stanley. Can the O-line, you know, handle the pressure and give Lamar the time he needs to find receivers if they're going to be in, you know, in kind of one-on-one coverage downfield? So that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And I think it's kind of a big question mark at this point. Like, do we know how they're going to react to that type of situation?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a question. I think some of the Lamar got blitzed a lot last year and wasn't effective and needed to adjust from that is a missed narrative, in the sense that Lamar didn't play a whole lot after that Miami game. It was I think it was a one-off. I think they weren't prepared because it was Thursday. They were in Miami. He played in the Pittsburgh game next, and then he was hurt in the game after that. And so there isn't, and you didn't see that from the Jets. The Jets did not decide to kind of cover zero, bring the house, like apply that pressure. So some of that, I think, is just folks not remembering that Lamar didn't play the latter half, like the last quarter of the season last year. It wasn't part of it. I do think it'll be interesting to see if Miami goes back to that strategy. But at home, I think the Ravens will be much better prepared for it. And a strategy like that is going to be much less effective when the crowd noise isn't there and it isn't part of it. And they're going to be prepared for it as well. So, you know, I worry a little bit about the game more because Miami's got more talent, and Waddle and Tyreek Hill are really fast. Both of them are really fast. But, I mean, I think the Ravens are on the right path. It'll be interesting to also see if any of these guys come back from injuries in this game, and what kind of impact that they're ultimately going to make. To me, you know, it's all pointing to Buffalo, right? And everything is the prep for the Buffalo game, making sure that they are kind of fine-tuned, ready, healthy, all of those things, because at the end of the day, that's going to be, I think, a really big game in the standings. We saw all kinds of positive things happen for the Ravens from the AFC perspective. Colts taking the tie, Bengals taking the loss. I think there's going to be extra scrutiny kind of on that Bills game, and it's nice this year that Kansas City's not on the schedule, but it looks like it's the Bills' turn to have a big game coming up for the Ravens and for them to get tuned up and ready.
Yeah,
for it.
That will be a big game, and you know, I'm sure that the Ravens aren't, you know, looking too far ahead. Like, they're going to play, you know, 1 week at a time, but it's hard to not think about that as a big game on the schedule. The Bills are, you know, considered Super Bowl favorites, and, you know, they definitely looked it in their first week one victory as well. So that's going to be a big one. You know, I think for this upcoming week, at least, one of the things, and we talked about, you know, the cover zero stuff, but I think it's really cliche to say this, but it's just comes down to how the O-line plays, and for both teams, and can the Ravens defense kind of manhandle the Miami O-line kind of the way they did the Jets O-line, and vice versa, can the Ravens offensive line hold up better than what we saw from them in last week, or last year I should say, against some of the better defensive units? Because, you know, Lamar was one of the most pressured and sacked quarterbacks last year, and you know, I think the Ravens took a concerted effort to improve that. You know, they brought in a Moses. They drafted a Linderbaum. And you're hoping that those, you know, people that you brought in are going to make a difference for you in the games that really matter. And I think next week is when it's going to be the first real test against a defense that's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know that I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to, like I said, it's nice to have an easy win under the belt, to have not a whole lot to scrutinize or really be terribly upset about. I thought the Ravens evolved really well throughout the balance of this game as well, and that it was clear that they were rusty, that they were tightening up, and that they were continuing that improvement. And I think that'll be a good thing to keep an eye on next week as well, to make sure that, you know, some of those improvements are happening. From a player perspective, there weren't a whole lot of guys that I felt like, you know, needed to step up and be better players than they were. I think we need to see more from the running backs. I'd say that Drake and Mike Davis weren't fantastic. They were much better, again, better in the second half, but would want to see kind of continued track of that performance overall. And I think, you know, you mentioned this, you know, Kyle Hamilton, seeing some improvement there. But otherwise, there weren't a whole lot of guys that you feel like really underperformed or had bad games for the Ravens in this Jets game.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall it was a good performance by, especially the defense. I think on offense, you know, like you mentioned, there's some things that it cleaned up. There are probably a few too many drops. We'd like to clean that up, especially, you know, Isaiah Likely. I think, I don't know, he was credited for two or three drops in this one, but that's something that I think he's going to have to improve. And I do think there's probably some jitters and the conditions weren't great. And, you know, the throws probably could have been a little bit more on the money. But I think, you know, overall, as long as this team can execute well, I think they're going to be a handful on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, I think that's where we're standing. If you feel good about the week one victory, you feel good about the team going forward. And, you know, if there's anything to improve on, it might just be being a little bit more aggressive on first down. I think when we saw the Ravens open up and pass a little bit more and kind of like early on and not kind of get on these first and down or first and 10 run kind of every single time, I think that helped a little bit open up the offense as well. So that's something I'd like to see a little bit more of in week two and moving forward.
Yeah, and hopefully next week, well, not hopefully, but we won't be in Vegas celebrating a big Ravens win next week, so we're hopeful to be able to get that podcast out to you guys on Sunday night, try and get some of those plays posted that we think up on Twitter so you can see some of the video clips, at least from the broadcast version of the plays that we think are important and you know, break these down a little bit better. But for this week, it's a little too much celebrating going on and a little bit too much fun last night for me and Gabe. So it was a lot of fun, though. Big Ravens win. Always happy on a Victory Monday. And so we'll look forward to seeing you guys next time in the Situation Room.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.